It's the Jeremiah Show. Tearing back the curtain on the hospitality, music, and entertainment industry with insider tips and the hottest global guests in the biz. With Dr. D and special LA personal development commentator Mike Gormley. He's a restaurant and bar fixture, a partner with legendary rock star drummer Mick Fleetwood in Fleetwood's on Front Street in Maui, and he's your radio host. And now, from a race around the sun, Jeremiah Higgins.
Hey, this is comedian Maz Jobrani, and I'm wishing you a happy 300th, Jeremiah. Happy 300th. Didn't know you're that old. All right. Congratulations. And listen to me on my podcast, Back to School with Maz Jobrani. Bye.
Welcome to
the Billy Harris.
Oh, boy. We're having fun.
Do that again. No, just go. Three, two, one.
I like the raw, rough.
That's right. Take two. Three, two, one. Welcome to the Jeremiah Show with In Studio Jeremiah Higgins.
300th episode. Dr. D and I have a little bit of an argument about that. He thinks I doubled up on a couple numbers, but I think if we go count them, the 300th episode.
I'll go with that.
300's pretty good.
That's exciting.
Hey,
I
can quit after this one.
That's right. You've made it to 300.
When did you guys start this? When did you go down the road?
2015. Like early 2015.
Yeah.
All right, good.
Yeah, I call it, it is season 7. I don't know how I got that number in 5 years, but but yeah.
TV.
The only thing they said about Santa Barbara is that the weather was good. They didn't say that there was any math experts.
Yeah,
No. But, not unless you live closer to Isla Vista, and then maybe.
I can go that far.
That's
and
it.
Then I just start doubling over.
Well, it's like Top Chef. The show's been on for 10 years, but they're like on season 32, right? They're always.
By the way, we might want to introduce to our listeners this disembodied voice.
Well, I mean, talk about our 300.
It's a soothing voice, isn't it?
It is a beautiful voice. And we're going to let you do all the talking here in a moment. It's interesting how this is the 300th show. Mm-hmm. First time back in studio since what, March 1st or so?
I would say about that. Yeah, March 1st or maybe the second week in March.
We've got a whole new look. I've got Dr. D put a bulletproof glass up in front between me and separating.
And it's not for my protection either.
No.
It's for yours.
Well, exactly.
He put new padding on the wall so I can bang my head and he can bang his back there.
Or play chess or checkers.
Anything like that. We've got a really, really great guest for the 300th show. Yeah.
That's for sure.
It's a real treat. he just can't wait to talk. He's jumping in there. Beautiful voice of Billy Harris that you're listening to. You're probably familiar
with it. That's me.
That's you. Let me do a quick intro, and then I'm just going to let you. Why don't you take over the interview? Billy Harris has carved out a very successful career at the top of the hospitality industry by shining his very bright spotlight on the giants in the culinary world. This includes Top Chef and restaurateur Brooke Williamson, Wolfgang Puck, Nancy Silverton, Chef Suzanne Gowen, Curtis Stone, Neil Frazier, Guy Fieri, Bobby Flay, Alice Waters, and so many more.
Thomas Keller, Daniel Balloon, Tony Montuano, Michael Schwartz, go down the line, Michael Solomonov.
By the time we got finished with the list, we'd be
over. That'd be the end of the show. Good night, everybody. These are people that I...
Into part two.
Thank you for coming.
Exactly. My pleasure, guys.
Billy, how many years? I say 20 years. Is that correct? I thought we talked... Or is it 30 years that you've been doing this?
Yeah, I mean, I'm 51. I mean, it's almost 30. I mean, I've done nothing else. So since maybe 1989. I think my first professional hosting gig, I know for a fact it was New Year's Eve, and it was at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas in the Empress's Ballroom, and it was for a company called Microsoft at the time.
And just a small little, tiny little mom and pop.
A little mom and pop. They were making computers out of their garage.
Yeah.
Sounds familiar. But yeah, it was one of those, I was doing a little stand-up, doing cruise ships, and then I started doing corporate gigs, and literally it was like, hey, everybody, let's bring out Bill Gates, whatever. It was It's 31 years ago. It's a long time.
Wow.
You know?
Well, you've been hosting a major, pretty much every major culinary event in the country with the best chefs in the country, some yep. that we mentioned here, and I'm sure we'll mention a lot more through the program here. He's an MC with a huge heart, Billy.
That's questionable, but sure.
Huge heart or enlarged heart? Do we need to get a medic?
He's got a big heart.
Yeah. Big heart.
He uses his platform and his mic for good, Dr. D. We should learn a lesson from him.
It's almost like you're introducing a superhero.
He is a superhero. Exactly. He's raised.
Let me get my cape out of the closet. Okay. I'll be back in a minute.
I thought I told you to wear that.
Yeah.
It's under your shirt, is it? So it is. He's raised millions of dollars.
Ooh, hundreds of millions.
Hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah, it's a big difference.
I'm glad we invited Billy because he can correct me the whole way.
I'll correct you all day.
I appreciate it. I like to learn. The Billy Harris Dinner Series has raised hundreds of millions of dollars for No Kid Hungry, Alex's Lemonade, the Los Angeles Regional Food Bank, and the Trotter Project. The Billy Harris Dinner Series is a number of intimate, multi-course, and wine-paired dining events with the country's best chefs, as we said. He's smart.
And now virtually. And
virtually.
2.5 months of virtual Billy Harris, which we'll go into in a little bit.
Yeah, I want to talk about that and how you've built that up and pivoted to that. It's really great. Yep. As you can tell, he's smart. He's got a quick wit. I love your interview style. It's very fun. He's got a positive, infectious attitude.
I'm impressed at how fast your whip is. You said quick whip, right?
Yeah, whip.
Yeah, quick whip. Quick wit, quick whip, whatever. Pick one.
All I want to do is sing this guy's praises, and you guys just don't want it. You won't let me. If you're in the hospitality.
I want, trust me.
He's humble.
If you're in the hospitality business, Dr. D, all roads lead to Billy.
Oh, really? Wow.
They do.
So he's the man behind the curtain. He's
okay. I'm gonna be finished here in just 1 minute. Okay, this would have gone so much quicker.
We would have been done already.
We would have been done about an hour. Hey, you want to hang with Harris, Dr. D. Uh-huh. I want to hang with Harris.
You do.
We are hanging with Harris on this special 300th episode of the Jeremiah Show. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting, Billy. So welcome, Billy Harris.
Thank you. Thanks for being here. Thanks for having me here. Thanks for being here. Yeah. My show. It's a Billy Harris show.
Thank you, Jeremiah.
Yeah. And Dr. D.
And we're going to just give you the airwaves for the rest of the time here. We're talking with Billy Harris. We'll be right back. We're hanging with Harris on our 300th episode.
You're hanging with Harris. Hanging on your 300th. All right.
He's the world's best MC. He's a judge on Iron Chef. He's Billy Harris. And everyone wants to hang with Harris. You can catch him on Bravo TV on 6 Eats, Hanging with Harris on YouTube, or get a seat at his dinner series on Vimeo. Find Billy Harris on Facebook, facebook.com/Billy Harris Official. On Instagram, instagram.com/TheBillyHarris. On his website, billyharris.com. On Vimeo, vimeo.com/HangingWithHarris.
All right, so.
No.
Yes, what?
Hanging with Harris!
And you already screamed that you're hanging with Harris. He loves squeezing my face.
Who said it's easy to be loved when you look over your shoulder and don't see the wasteland? Just got to carry what you can. Have the heart of a giant, but know you're a man. Have the heart of a giant, but know you're a man. Have the heart of a giant, but know you're a man. Start small, grow tall. Start small and grow tall. Start small, grow tall. Start small and grow tall.
Hey, everybody, this is Mendeleev. You're listening to The Jeremiah Show. Please check out my new record, Songs for Mom, on Spotify and Apple Music. Until Forever I Go is the first track off the album. You can check it out on YouTube, the full music video. More music videos to come in the next few weeks.
You're listening to The Jeremiah Show with Dr. D. Find all of our past shows on iTunes, podcasts, The Jeremiah Show.
Hi, I'm Brooke Williamson, Top Chef Season 14 winner, and you're listening to The Jeremiah Show, so don't go away.
The restaurant business is evolving. Will you be ready for the new restaurant business? Let us help you prepare and reopen at HJL Hospitality Restaurant Advisors. Call us or email us for a complimentary consultation to discuss building your restaurant pro forma and operating budget before you open, hiring and training your employees, reopening correctly, avoiding costly mistakes, setting up the perfect delivery and pickup system. Please call us at 800-840-2134. That's 800-840-2134. Or email us info@hjlrestaurantadvisors.com.
Hold on, darling. This body is yours. This body is yours and mine. Well, hold.
Are we rolling, Matt?
Sit up straight.
In my cup.
I'm ready, Matt. On your decker.
Right. Have we done this before?
Welcome back to The Jeremiah Show, episode 300. Thank you, listeners, for sticking with us this long. Man. If you're still listening, thank you.
Oh, they're listening.
Yeah. They are listening, and they got to hear this one, Billy Harris. But you know what is interesting, Billy? I always do a lot of background, and I was digging, and what I found on, I couldn't find a lot of personal stuff on you, because everything, all the PR, all your articles, it seemed to, you steer them towards the event and the cause, which just says so much about you, how honorable you are. But I wanted to actually take this time, this hour that we have with you, if we could, and I want to hear all the personal stuff. Let's really get to know you. Let's let your fans get to know you. How many of them really get to know you and have this time?
It's good.
Yeah, so you started as a child actor, right?
Yeah, kid actor, but I grew up... my grandmother, and she had 9 brothers and sisters, so they were all, she would have been one of the all-time greats, probably as good as Billie Holiday, but she came from a really Orthodox Jewish family, so the daughter of the family was not allowed to perform. But her brothers and sisters were all performers. I had a, obviously, and if you go back even a little more, so Georgie Jessel, anyone under 60, and if you're 50 and have any knowledge of it, would know his name. So Georgie Jessel, who was one of the most famous vaudevillians of all time, who actually started the Friars Club with Burns in L.A., when they needed somewhere to go after the fights. I mean, he was married to Norma Talmadge in 1924. So like way back, I actually named my daughter after him. So my daughter is Georgie Harris. So my grandfather, who was Billy Harris, used to carry Georgie's bags. So my Aunt Katie danced at the Texaco Star Theater with Milton Berle. And that was on my dad's side. On my mom's side, you know, my grandmother was a great singer. What her brother played in a big band in the 1940s, and obviously people in their 70s, 80s, the Carmen Caballero Orchestra. Where I'm 51, and everyone on here is way too young, but you're talking going back 80, 90 years already, which is crazy. But comedians, vaudevillians, singers, and also just come from a pretty funny family in general. But, you know, the whole Georgie Jessel connection, like from a mega stardom sort of thing, you know, just kind of, I mean, I think my first gig, I was in Grossinger's in the Catskills. And I was a magician's assistant in 1979. You know, I put the handkerchiefs in a thing or and the rabbit comes out of somewhere, which is good.
Really?
But yeah, so, I mean, like kind of a cigar microphone in hand. Couldn't not learned at all. Just a funny, wise ass shtick kid. you know, with a lot of funny grandparents and people that were really all performers and funny, and started off as a kid actor, started getting involved with stand up, and then when I went to college in San Francisco, and someone hired me for my first corporate gig, you know, 35 years ago, whatever, if it paid $400 or $500 at the time, it might as well have been $50 million. You know, when people were working at the Improv for $20 and they're like, we're going to fly you to Vegas and put you up at Caesar's Palace and give you $1,000. So I was like, what's this? You know, I mean, I'm just getting paid to be a wise ass and, hand out trophies at a Microsoft President's Club. And then, you know, I mean, we could talk about this for hours, but it was a real, very, very quick change because one of my oldest friends, when I went to college in San Francisco, He introduced me a friend who got a job at the Food Network, and this was in 1993. And it was like, what's the Food Network? And my friend Joe Allegro, who I've worked with still to this point, he was the Food Network, brought me on board. And all of a sudden it was like, we're doing this event and they need a host. And I was hosting events with Emeril and Rachel and Bobby and Giada and, you know, every chef that you could imagine, just funny guy with a microphone. I mean, I'm a pretty good cook. I'm really culinary adjacent. After 30 years, I can talk the talk, but I can't really cook anything.
Yeah, it'd be a shame if you didn't pick anything up with all these great.
Yeah, I mean, cilantro, basil, parsley. It's still pretty hard for me to tell the difference right now. But it just became this very quick. Like all of a sudden, I'm hosting culinary events, and people were like, "What's the Food Network?" I'm like, "I don't know. It's the show where this guy that goes bam all the time," you know. And what's really happened, you know, even more so in the past, let's call it 15 years already, and use kind of Top Chef as the metrics, as the bar, the cross-pollination of celeb chef and philanthropy, that's where it just kind of changed the whole direction of what I do. Because in these nonprofit fundraising worlds, as soon as the Food Network and Top Chef and Master Chef and every chef activation on TV you can imagine, people start with like, ah, you know, we're doing this fundraiser for the New York Food Bank or the San Francisco Food Bank or No Kid Hungry. And just to backtrack, my buddy Joe Allegro, who was at the Food Network, he took me with him to No Kid Hungry about 18 years ago. So that's how I got directly involved.
Wow.
With nonprofits, and Billy Shore and Debbie Shore, you know, are two of my dearest friends, the founders of No Kid Hungry. They've been around for 35 years. But Joe Allegro, who went from the Food Network and Food Network to No Kid Hungry, and now he's with another organization called Feed the Children, which is a very similar organization as No Kid Hungry, except they're actually internationally and work with disaster relief around the world as well. But just to kind of backtrack, it's what's happened just from the rise of celeb chefs on TV. And then people just said, you know, I wonder if we got that Emeril guy for this gala we're doing for childhood hunger, maybe he'd cook a dinner in someone's house, you know, or teach a cooking class. And all of a sudden, oh, maybe we raised $10,000. And all of a sudden they're like, oh, we just raised $110,000. People like having these celeb chefs around. Yeah. And actually, God is my witness right now this week, because I go to my family and I, my wife and daughter, we go to Italy. This will be our 9th year for the month of July with Nancy Silverton. Nancy owns a house in Umbria. We actually happen to rent her neighbor's house. But when you talk about it all cross-pollinating at Alex's Lemonade Stand for pediatric cancer, the past, I guess it's 3 years now, we auction off a dinner with Nancy. I'm the sidekick, of course. People pay an extra $4 to have me there. But every time we've auctioned this off, people have spent, very generous people, $100,000 to have dinner with Nancy in her house in Umbria. And we've done it the past 2 years, and we're hosting two more dinners this week, which were postponed till next year, God willing. But I mean, that's a perfect example of it all coming together in a big friggin' mega scale way, serious money for a great organization. And when you talk about any nonprofit, you want the mega auction item, you know, and LA is so jaded, you know, you can't do anything with celebs, you know, because, you know, it's like, you know, do you want to do a walk-on role in George Clooney's next movie? And people were like, yeah, I live next to George Clooney. I don't need to be, you know, nobody cares in LA. Yeah. Everyone is so jaded. But yeah, it's still at the end of the day. And to give you the scope, I hosted 110 events last year all over the country.
That's incredible.
So what I did learn after this Tuesday was 4 months that I've been home. What did Billy learn? Billy learned that I'm not doing that ever again after 30 years of it. I haven't let you talk yet because it's the Billy Show for everyone listening. But it goes into...
Take us to break then, Billy, on the Billy Show.
Oh, there's a break. Okay, yeah, we're going to break. But yeah, I mean, that was the immediate... when you go back, if this was a book, I mean, I was doing the corporate shtick and some stand-up stuff. And I worked on cruise ships for a couple summers, you know. And if you're a person who gets seasick, you shouldn't work on cruise ships. So
save that story for right when we come back from the break.
And yeah, somebody's paying for this.
I want to say that back to the Nancy Silverton in Italy at her home, you as a sous chef, she's the chef. $4. I've got two. Dr. D's got two. We're in.
Exactly.
And are we in?
And if you're looking for people to carry your luggage, Jeremiah and I are ready, willing, and able.
Big shoulder.
Well, let me tell you, there happened to be a bunch of friends that just happened to be in our town of Italy that week that ended up showing up at the dinner. So it's kind of hard to say no if you happen to be in Umbria in the town of Panicale the week of July 4th.
It was the same people that were not impressed by George Clooney, right? That showed up.
Same
from
people.
From L.A.
Exactly.
All right,
exactly.
We'll be back.
Are we taking a break?
We're taking a break. Somebody's going to pay for something.
Break already,
somebody's going to pay for something. You can rest just a minute. Get some more water. We're talking
sponsor?
To
Home
Billy.
Depot, Lowe's, BMW, anyone like that?
We're working on all those.
Santa Barbara Seafood Company.
Santa Barbara.
Exterminator.
We are talking, or we're listening to Billy Harris on the Jeremiah Show. 300.
Jeremiah Show.
300.
The other guy. Who's the other guy? Why is there another guy? What does he do?
We don't know what he does.
I just came in off the street. I didn't have anything to do. And, you know,
I'll tell you what he's doing, Billy. He's flipping me off behind the plexiglass because I'm not taking a break. Okay, we'll be right back.
Okay, great.
Billy Harris series generates funds and awareness for those in need. For the past 25 years, Billy Harris has been wowing audiences throughout the United States and around the world. His razor-sharp timing and brilliant improvisational skills have made him one of the most sought-after MCs in the business. The Billy Harris Dinner Series is a number of intimate, multi-course, wine-paired dining events with the country's best chefs, specialty cocktails, hors d'oeuvres, chef meet-and-greet, book signings, fun, laughter, live auction, and excitement are included in your ticket, and all for a good cause. The sold-out series has raised millions of dollars for No Kids Hungry, Alex's Lemonade, Los Angeles Regional Food Bank, and The Trotter Project. Find Billy Harris on Facebook, facebook.com/Billy Harris Official. On Instagram, instagram.com/TheBillyHarris. On his website, billyharris.com. And on Vimeo, vimeo.com/HangingWithHarris.
Awesome!
Are you getting on the chicken?
I'm trying to get it on.
Don't get on me.
I want to Instagram that right now. Now you just push his eye out of his head. And now he just ripped it up. This poor, he was so happy.
And then I'm going to put this guy in.
Is it? Wait a minute. If I go like that, does that make me a chef?
It does.
It's so soft.
I had to leave in a hurry. I only saw what they let me see. You broke a heart that loved you. Now you can seal up the book and not write anymore. I've been walking that lonesome valley, trying to get to heaven before they close the door. People on the platforms, waiting for the trains. I can hear their hearts beating, like pendulums swinging on chains. When you think that you've lost everything, you find how you can always lose a little more. Going down the road feeling bad, trying to get to heaven before they close the door.
Hey, it's Tim Stack here, and I just did the Jeremiah Show and had a really, really great time. Check me out at TV's Tim Stack on Twitter.
Hi there, I'm Kim Bush with Folded Hills Winery. We're here on The Jeremiah Show, and we welcome all of you listeners out to Folded Hills. Anytime you want to try some wonderful wines, it's the first winery on the way into wine country and the closest vineyard to the ocean. Come on out and taste some wonderful wines. Cheers.
My name's Danny Trejo, and you're listening to The Jeremiah Show. And on it, I'm talking about my cookbook. It's awesome. Hey, I got a documentary coming out. And dropped a record called Satisfy My Soul. Check it out. Trejo's music, Jeremiah, you're loved, Holmes.
Reopen your business on The Jeremiah Show with our 30-day complimentary ad program. Radio is a highly effective advertising option for small business. Despite all the changes in the last decade in how Americans access music, AM/FM radio is still the most cost-effective advertising medium today. It's an inexpensive way to reach your existing and potential customers. Radio advertising is less expensive than the cable television advertising, but often has the same reach. The low cost enables you to run multiple ads, which gets better results. It's easy to narrowly target listeners. 30 days free with a 3-month commitment. That's 16 complimentary ads for your business. We'll create and record your ad for you, no charge. We'd also like to invite you to be our special segment guest to tell our listeners about your business. Please email us advertiseon@thejeremiahshow.com.
Seriously, enough with the fake accent. I know you're from Jersey.
You really went out there with
a boof burger. And then Mamma Mia, Jersey.
Of the asparagus. That was very
a little sweet bread. Let's try that again. Sweet bread.
Sweet bread. Schwarmers.
Billy Harris. You've been hanging with Harris. My good friend Jonathan Waxman.
Hanging with Waxman.
Loving hanging with Harris. Thank you, Billy.
I love hanging with Harris.
Bye. That's the whole. Sorry.
It's go for the fire works.
Hey, you want me in a lake? Get the out of here.
That clock's wrong.
Welcome back to the Jeremiah Show, 300th episode.
300.
I didn't know you could count that high. I can't.
I'm giving up on this show. I'm just going to let you guys take it. I can't get a word in on my own show. 300th episode. I do want to thank the listeners out there. I'm going to do this a couple times. But did you know that Dublin, Ireland, every week, that's our biggest listenership around the world.
Wow.
Dublin, Ireland.
That's impressive. Ireland, must be all your relatives.
Number one, always. I have no, maybe Higgins, huh? Billy, I want to know.
Is it 10 people in Dublin? I'm gonna
two. It's two. Is it? Two's enough. That counts.
And in each of them has larger. €2 each.
Exactly. What do you want to know, Jeremiah?
Billy, I want to know everything about you. First, I want to know, how do you get such cool hair?
Yeah.
The hair is strong. Everyone in my family has a head of hair. My grandfather was in his coffin. Like, he's like, what do you think of my hair? You know, like, it's extra strong right now. I use something called Layrite, so they should be our sponsor of the show.
That's
there
right.
You go. We're going to hit them up after this.
I did see that one piece of video where you were, the gal was going, whose hair is taller? And of course, she gave it to you. I don't know. Yeah. I was looking and it kind of looked like her hair was just a little bit taller.
Yeah, whose hair is taller? Yeah, that's that. I've kind of always had that, and I haven't really changed styles at all since 1969.
You got good hair. You got a memorable. You're kind of like iconic in that.
I can never. It would be a problem if I lose my hair, and I don't. That would be problem number one, and I definitely can't get LASIK because if I didn't have the glasses on.
Yeah. You got it. The whole thing goes together.
Yeah, it's exactly. It works.
So you get seasick, huh? you're saying
before? Yeah, the cruise ships didn't go well with me. Yeah, that never went over well.
Do you get seasick? You get seasick on a cruise ship? No, I thought they were too big.
Yeah, you can.
You can, but I didn't.
Just so you know, that's a total myth right there. You know, people are like, oh, you don't get sick on a cruise ship. And then, you know, you should Google cruise ships and storms, and you'll never go, besides COVID, on a cesspool of germs.
Yeah.
That's number one. But then Google any video of a cruise ship in a storm. I'm like, no thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought you just got sick on cruise ships from the food. But
I think on cruise ships in a storm, the attendants and all of the service personnel strap everyone to the rails.
Yeah. Oh no, it's bad. And that's one of those moments you're like, why am I here? Why did I sign up for this? And you won't find me there again.
So, okay.
You're not a big deep sea fisherman then, I take it.
Yeah. No? Things that Jews don't do. We don't go in shark tanks. We don't drive trucks. Those are two of the things where you won't find us. Deep sea fishing, I mean, probably if you're like at the Four Seasons in Maui or Bora Bora, you know, maybe that's a good place. But yeah,
basically all you do as far as seafood is you name the lobster in the tank and that's mine.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. And I will eat that one. For
there
sure.
you go.
Well, so you did stand up comedy, and I'd argue, I guess you probably never let that really go, right? That's probably
part of
your charm at these events.
Yeah, that's a tough. That's a tough racket, you know, and that was a good place. You know, I was in San Francisco from 86 to 92, and the stand-up scene was everywhere. You know, Robin Williams would just show up, and I mean, Jeff Garlin, who obviously went on two amazing things, he would do open mic nights, Margaret Cho, Janine Garofalo,
oh, wow.
Rick Reynolds had this great one-man show, and this was all the time. Shamlin would show up all the time, and it was a great, you know, my family happened to move there, and I actually finished high school, went to college in San Francisco, to San Francisco State. And it was a great time to be there. And there really comedy clubs everywhere. It really was. I mean, if I was 10 years older and was doing stand up in the late 70s or something like that. But it was a good time and a great time to learn. I was actually for then a period of time at the actual Improv off of Union Square in San Francisco. Worked with some really good friends of mine that came to LA that became really successful show writers in LA, but we were the doormen at the time, which was just bizarre. You know, this was my skilled move, changing the letters, the sign on top of, you know,
hey, well, somebody's got to do it.
Somebody's got to do it.
I always wondered who did that.
Yeah.
Billy.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely was a part of those one nighters where Robin would show up at midnight, you know, and do an hour, a couple of those years, you know, Ellen at the time, Ellen was, you know, a headliner touring the country long before the show. So it was a great place, just osmosis to learn, did that for a couple of years.
Hmm. Yeah. And you mentioned Gary Shanley. He's one of my favorites.
All the greats. Yeah.
What a neat and interesting life you've lived. Do you feel that way?
Yeah.
Do you ever sit back and reflect and go, whoa, look what I do.
All the time. I mean, I can tell you right now, I mean, I know you wanted to go into this a little more. I mean, I'll send you a photo. I mean, last night I hosted a fundraiser for the Independent School Alliance. They're an amazing nonprofit in LA. 100% of their graduates go to college. They take brilliant young kids in LA and get them into the top private schools and then into colleges. And they have 100% graduation from Harvard, from Yale, from Princeton, from USC.
Impressive.
So, you know, just, you know, the whole kind of cross pollination of being funny and doing stand up and then started hosting culinary events and then starting the fundraising events. And then the cross pollination of fundraising culinary events led to all of this, but the fact that I could do that in a pair of shorts with a red sequin jacket from my kitchen counter and raise $300,000.
Wow.
Since we have the world of technology, I'm going to show you this in the Zoom camera. This is me in my kitchen in red sequins, you know, right there. And if I move the photo up, can't quite. Oh, yeah. I just moved it up so you could see that I am in shorts. Of course, there's a LinkedIn notification, but you could see the shorts and the bare feet right there.
There you go.
And yeah, that was just zooming and that's just one piece of the puzzle. But
wild.
You know, you kind of get the great organization with great donors and just be able to navigate it all with a little bit of humor and people that wanted to give. I mean, one donor gave $75,000 last night.
Wow, incredible.
You know, and they had four young kids all graduating, going off to school. So anyway, it created a new business model for me once we talk about the virtual dinners as well.
Let's
so
do really that when we take after we take this quick break. But I got to say, you've got to, you know, you've hosted so many of these events, as you said, 110 last year,
thousands,
and last night, thousands and thousands over the years. Part of, you know, people come to contribute and to donate, but your personality, your hosting the event, you've got to feel really good that if they have a great time and you sell it to them up there, you're really raising this money. You're playing a big part, and that's gotta feel pretty
huge.
Good. We're talking with Billy Harris. We'll be right back. We're hanging with Harris on our 300th episode.
You're hanging with Harris. Hanging with 300th. All right.
He's the world's best MC. He's a judge on Iron Chef. He's Billy Harris. And everyone wants to hang with Harris. You can catch him on Bravo TV on 6 Eats, Hanging with Harris on YouTube, or get a seat at his dinner series on Vimeo. Find Billy Harris on Facebook, facebook.com/Billy Harris Official. On Instagram, instagram.com/TheBillyHarris. On his website, billyharris.com. On Vimeo, vimeo.com/HangingWithHarris.
I'm Billy Harris. You're hanging with Harris.
Hanging with Harris.
Hanging with Harris.
You're hanging with Harris.
You're hanging with Harris. We're at Nick and Steph's Steakhouse.
We are at the brand new Umama Contestant.
We're at Baby Blues Barbecue in West Hollywood, California.
We are in Boston at Tico.
Cool House in L.A.
I am with my very good friend, Mark Vetri, in the kitchen of Vetri.
We are in L.A. Iwerks on Melrose Avenue in Los Angeles. My very good friend, Gay Girardi.
My good friend, Adam Fleischman.
And Michael Schlau.
David Rosoff.
George Abu Dowd.
Relax.
I'm relaxed. I'm too stressed
tense,
out.
Man.
And now you're behind
tense.
Me.
Relax.
Okay. This is for a Happy New Year over the shoulder.
Okay.
That is a good-looking cocktail, but I bet it's going to taste better in my mouth.
Be the sofrito, Billy.
Be the sofrito.
Be it.
Do the flip. Got it.
Okay, you
now
got it.
Now what's happening?
Beautiful.
Milano.
This is called the Honey Badger.
The Honey Badger.
I'm hanging with Harris.
You are hanging with Harris. I don't know whose hair is higher today.
It's you. You can win. Harris's hair is higher.
Right now, I'm hanging with Harris.
Excited to be hanging with Harris.
I'm hanging with Harris.
Happy to be hanging with Harris.
I'm hanging with Harris.
You're hanging with Harris.
I'm hanging with Harris today.
Hanging with Harris.
You are hanging with Harris.
I'm doing great. I'm hanging with Harris. I mean, how much better could it be?
It can't get much better.
Times like these, you learn to live again. It's times like these, you give and give again. It's times like these, you learn to love again. It's times like these, time and time again. It's times like these you learn to love again. It's times like these, time and time again.
Hi, this is Top Chef Stephanie Smar from season 17, and you're listening to The Jeremiah Show. Check out my Instagram at Stephanie Smar to see what's going on now, what kind of fun videos we're making, and some interesting pictures.
Hi, I'm Shadow Stevens. While I'm doing this and that and the other thing at the very same time, I'm having a great time on The Jeremiah Show, the greatest show in the history of the world. For the love of God, subscribe. No, seriously, subscribe.
What's up, guys? My name's Lennon Silvers Lee, head chef of a sushi bar in Montecito. You're listening to The Jeremiah Show.
The restaurant business is evolving. Will you be ready for the new restaurant business? Let us help you prepare and reopen at HJL Hospitality Restaurant Advisors. Call us or email us for a complimentary consultation to discuss building your restaurant pro forma and operating budget before you open, hiring and training your employees, reopening correctly, avoiding costly mistakes, setting up the perfect delivery and pickup system. Please call us at 800-840-2134. That's 800-840-2134. Or email us info@hjlrestaurantadvisors.com.
Welcome back to the Jeremiah Show. Billy, it's Billy Harris's show this whole hour.
It is.
Our 300th episode, we saved it for him.
Yeah.
We worked 299 shows to get to this point, to get to Billy Harris.
Yeah, Billy was at that spot on the list that it was so important we have him on the 300th show that we moved everybody around over the last 5 years.
Well, actually, Billy, that's not too far off. A couple weeks ago, I reached out to Billy and I said, "We've got our 300th show, and I'd be honored if you came on." And we held, and we moved it, as you know, Dr. D, to this.
Yeah.
Billy
yeah.
moved with us.
By the way, Billy, do you have a dog?
I do have a dog, Emmy, and she just walked right by me.
Yes,
right,
that's what I thought I heard.
Cool. Where's Jeremiah's video?
I'm off video.
Oh, you lost it. All right. Well, I can get him back on. Let me just...
Yeah, get him back on.
You continued your conversation, and I'll get him back on here.
Let's talk about the Billy Harris dinner series. We have been talking a little bit, but how... So, really, how did you develop this? You talked about it a little bit at the beginning, but you went past it pretty quickly.
Yeah, because that's consumed my life for the past 5 years, that's for sure. So, you know, it was just another tangent of, you know, hosting all these culinary events, hosting all these fundraising events, hosting all these dinners, because, you know, some of them are huge, like an Alex's Lemonade with 2,000, 3,000 people in the audience. You know, Estee Lauder Breast Cancer Gala at Navy Pier in Chicago has 2,000 people there. And some of them are much smaller. You know, I was talking about No Kid Hungry before. You know, their Taste of the Nation events are really, really large events, but their dinners, their major markets, LA, New York, DC, Chicago, have much bigger events, but most of their grassroots are much smaller dinners around the country. Sometimes we're hosting things with 30, 40, 50, 60 kind of cultivation events, outreach events where they're new to a new city and showing all the work that they do with their in-school breakfast programs and dealing with food insecurity and childhood hunger. So that was a little bit, I guess, selfish in regards to, I know every chef. I've been working with them for 28 years. I work with so many nonprofits. I could probably do my own thing and just wrap it all up in my own brand.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew right away, and once again, timing is everything. I was like, I need a ticketing partner. I need some sort of platform. How do I host a dinner on my own in a restaurant? It's a lot of work. So I guess about 7 years ago at Aspen Food and Wine, I met my business partner, Paul Vitagliano. At the time, he was with Bombardier Jets, and they were involved with bringing all the chefs into Aspen on private planes. And he was also on the board with Table 8. Table 8 was a reservation service online like OpenTable and right before Resy and Reserve, and they didn't make the cut. But I met him through mutual friends, and he's been my business partner ever since with our dinner series, you know, now virtual dinner series for the near future. And we've done almost 120 events over the past 5 years around the country. I mean, made San Francisco, LA, New York, and Chicago right now. And then that pivoted towards the virtual market that we're in. But with the dinner series, I was like, okay, people love to eat and drink. That format is proven. It's a proven format to raise money. But I feel like people can eat and drink, and we can definitely raise money for those that are less fortunate. It's not a difficult pattern. It wasn't some genius idea that I had, because obviously for 20 years before that was doing all these other culinary fundraising events. But when you kind of get a little more intimate, you know, private dinners with Thomas Keller and Daniel Boulud and Nancy Silverton, and a little bit of a higher ticket price, a different clientele, people that can afford it, you're like, man, this is just a perfect opportunity to be like, you know what, while you're eating those truffles, you know, and drinking that silver oak, you know, we should raise about $50,000 for the LA Food Bank, because there's just a lot of people starving right now. Mm-hmm. And that's been the model, even what we're doing virtually as well. So Paul and I, we work with, you know, LA Food Bank. We work with, he's on the board of the Trotter Project in Chicago. I had the great chance to work with the late, great Charlie Trotter, who died way too young. So Trotter Project provides mentoring and culinary scholarships for inner city kids in the Chicago area. So we've done a dozen or so dinners in New York for the Trotter Project. We work with No Kid Hungry. We work with Alex's Lemonade. We did one-offs with the Simon Wiesenthal Center in LA and produced the 70th anniversary of Factor's Deli, and had Nancy Silverton cook and Jonathan Waxman cook and Adam Perry Lang cook and Bruce Kalman cook and Josiah Citrin. And we're really, our events now, you know, I really, the two models that I tell people, we do private dinners for 40 people with Thomas Keller. And then we did dinners and afternoon barbecues for 1,000 people at the LA Food Bank with Dave Grohl from the Foo Fighters, and kind of everything in between right now. So we just took, we call it the Billy Harris Dinner Series, because I'm Billy Harris and I work with all these chefs, and it really checks off all the boxes. You're supporting the restaurant with ticket sales. You're supporting the charity. You know, we work with the Wells Fargo Foundation. They support a lot of our events, and especially the virtual ones right now. They've given a $10,000 donation to a local LA nonprofit for every event that we do. So obviously, given COVID and the crisis that we're in right now, you know, when this, we just finished 12 events in 10 weeks last weekend with Curtis Stone, massively supporting restaurants that are being devastated. You know, we've done 3 events now with Wolfgang, and we're actually doing our 4th event with Wolfgang in October, 2 with Nancy, Curtis Stone, Evan Funky, you know, Neil Frazier, Antonio LaFaso, Brooke Williamson. You know, we did an event with Phil Rosenthal and Neil Frazier with his, Phil's a dear friend with his Somebody Feed Phil on Netflix. But still all of those, Wells Fargo gave $10,000 to Project Angel Food, the Food Bank, the Downtown Women's Center, LA Housing. So it's just a great...
Yeah.
Formula that works, you know.
We're going to come right back from the break. Billy, I did say I'm going to get to know you a little bit, and I have a question for you regarding why you do what you do. This is such a great thing that you do. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Episode 300. Billy Harris.
300.
Billy Harris Series generates funds and awareness for those in need. For the past 25 years, Billy Harris has been wowing audiences throughout the United States and around the world. His razor-sharp timing and brilliant improvisational skills have made him one of the most sought-after MCs in the business. The Billy Harris Dinner Series is a number of intimate, multi-course, wine-paired dining events with the country's best chefs, specialty cocktails, hors d'oeuvres, chef meet-and-greet, book signings, fun, laughter, live auction, and excitement are included in your ticket, and all for a good cause. The sold-out series has raised millions of dollars for No Kids Hungry, Alex's Lemonade, Los Angeles Regional Food Bank, and the Trotter Project. Find Billy Harris on Facebook, facebook.com/Billy Harris Official. On Instagram, instagram.com/TheBillyHarris. On his website, billyharris.com. And on Vimeo, vimeo.com/HangingWithHarris.
It's so good.
Oh, it's yummy. It tastes actually like springtime in a glass.
I bet it's delicious.
It is delicious.
This is perfection in a dish. It's crazy good. It is so good.
They know.
Look at him. He's like, they know.
Billy Harris, I will hang with you anytime if that's what you're going to make. That is delicious.
George, thanks for hanging with Harris.
My pleasure. We'll see you soon.
Thanks.
Oh, it's good. Oh, it's really good.
How in the world are you going to see? Laughing at fools like me.
I'm Chance.
I'm Steve.
I'm Nick.
And I'm Lance.
We're the Last Chance Band, and you're listening to The Jeremiah Show. You can find our music on Spotify and iTunes.
Hi, I'm Shadow Stevens. While I'm doing this and that and the other thing at the very same time, I'm having a great time on The Jeremiah Show, the greatest show in the history of the world. For the love of God, subscribe. No, seriously, subscribe.
Hey, this is Camilla Cleese, and you're listening to The Jeremiah Show.
Hi, it's Suzanne Goen from LA restaurants Luke, AOC, and Tavern, as well as the Hollywood Bowl. And you are listening to The Jeremiah Show. I hope you'll check out our event, LA Loves Alex's Lemonade, and join the cause.
The Jeremiah Show soundtrack is always original, every single show. Did you know there are 10 original songs for each episode? The music on the show is a running soundtrack in my life. I'm always listening to new and original voices that inspire me. I listen for hooks in a song. I listen for melodies that add emotion to our show. If you listen carefully to the 10 songs, you will also find a subtle theme that underscores my guest's vision or just how I feel that day. If you'd like to hear one of your songs played on the show, email me at jeremiah@thejeremiahshow.com.
Reopen your business on The Jeremiah Show with our 30-day complimentary ad program. Radio is a highly effective advertising option for small business. Despite all the changes in the last decade in how Americans access music, AM/FM radio is still the most cost-effective advertising medium today. It's an inexpensive way to reach your existing and potential customers. Radio advertising is less expensive than the cable television advertising, but often has the same reach. The low cost enables you to run multiple ads, which gets better results. It's easy to narrowly target listeners. 30 days free with a 3-month commitment. That's 16 complimentary ads for your business. We'll create and record your ad for you, no charge. We'd also like to invite you to be our special segment guest to tell our listeners about your business. Please email us advertiseon@thejeremiahshow.com.
Welcome back to The Jeremiah Show. We're talking with Billy Harris this entire hour on our 300th episode. Welcome to the Overtime Podcast. Billy, I wanted to, as I'm listening to you talk about all the great people that you've worked with, the way that your career, it almost feels like, because I was really thinking about this before the interview, how did you come up with, how did you create this niche market that you have, this, you know, where you've turned not only interviewing great chefs and your passion for the culinary world, the hospitality world, comedy, hosting, MC, you know, this kind of background in your family with show business. It almost, and coming in at the right time, I was also trying to do the math, as you know, as we've established, I'm not great at the math, but I was doing the math, and when you said 20, 30 years, that's really when celebrity chefs came on scene, I think, as you said, the Food Network, and you validated that. You said you came on.
I think it's 93 or 94, whatever year it was launched.
That's what I was trying to do the timeline before this. And it.
Yeah, no, it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a long time ago already, and nobody knew what food TV was.
Wasn't that really right around the writer's strike, and they had to come up with new ideas kind of thing? Back in the early 90s?
That's a good question.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
I just thought there was a connection there because I remember a lot of those reality TV shows started popping up.
Yeah, it could be. But it's interesting. Like, could your career have been or be created now? I mean, it almost was a part of the changing culinary world, the television world. It almost developed. You almost developed it in a way, and we're right along. Side all those milestones.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, and you've created something really neat out of it. It's really unique. The question I wanted to ask about, you know, what drives you, Billy? What it's not that you're just good at this, that this is what you do. There's something more to it. You do more than just a job here. There's just an MC. What drives you?
Well, my first answer for what drives me is that my daughter's private school is really expensive. Fear is a great motivator, isn't it?
There you go.
You know what? Listen, I really, you know, I was born with a microphone in my hand, and, you know, it's kind of what I've always done. You know, I was always the wise ass kid. I was always the funny kid, you know, found out growing up that you had grandparents that were in show business, that had aunts and uncles, people that worked with Milton Berle, you know, really old school, great vaudeville stories, you know, stuff that just doesn't exist anymore, you know. You know, 9 out of 10 people on the street wouldn't know about all the great hotels in the Catskills that were the hotbed of activity in the '50s and sixties, you know, where the Dangerfields and all the great greats, you know, got their start in Grossinger's and the Neville and the Concord. You know, you really have to be from the Northeast and, you know, to kind of grow up with that shtick kind of thing and that New York Broadway kind of thing. And once again, you know, me, it was just in the DNA, you know, kind of come from that. And then to meet all the grandparents and the people that really worked in it. So, yeah, just kind of born into it. And it's just weird that it just took this strange, strange path. But I really love what I do. You know, I love being on stage. I love just the hosting events that I turned into this funny, really successful auctioneer. And literally 30 years later, it is hundreds of millions of dollars. It's not 5 million. It's not 50 million. You know, it's hundreds of millions of dollars of hosting these amazing galas that, you know, they have real metrics. You know, Jay and Liz Scott, whose daughter was Alex, who's obviously passed away at 8 years old. And, you know, she was selling lemonade in her front yard. And then she was on Oprah Winfrey and she raised $1 million before she died. I mean, they have true metrics of the money. The great Mark Vetri, who started the Great Chefs event because the family is out of Philadelphia. And unfortunately, due to COVID, we were celebrating the 15th anniversary of Alex's Lemonade's Great Chefs event that led to the LA event that Suzanne Goen chairs. And then that Jonathan Waxman and now Alex Wanicelli chair in New York to Paul Kahn in Chicago and the four major food events for Alex's, but they have metrics of the tens and tens of millions of dollars from those auctions and those events, the amount of kids that they have actually helped. And there is a, from what Jay Scott, there was so much research from the sort of cancer that their daughter passed away from that other kids won't pass away from it now. And they, you know, Jay Scott gives an amazing speech before each Alex's Lemonade starts that the money they are raising is really helping kids, you know, that are battling with cancer right now. So that's an extraordinary organization and what it's become. But I mean, No Kid Hungry, founded by Billy and Debbie Shore 35 years ago. Don't quote me on the numbers, but, you know, it's somewhere between $750 million and $1 billion that they've raised in the fight to end childhood hunger in this country. And that's just it shouldn't even be an issue, you know, and people that, when you learn about food insecurity, and I'm not here to discuss politics at all, people do think they think it's from the lack of food. It's not from the lack of food in this country. It's from the access to food in this country. Mm-hmm. And one of their most amazing programs is their summer meals programs, because obviously when children are out of school, double whammy right now with COVID and everything that's happening around the country, you know, certain parts of the country, kids only eat when they're in school. So they've created these summer meals programs, so kids always have access to nutritious and healthy food. So once you kind of get down to the brass tacks of all of it, you know, oh, it's funny and I'm funny and I can do these auctions and raise all this money, you're really helping a lot of people. Yeah. I just haven't found that difficult, you know, in my own DNA and my own philosophy and got very lucky that, you know what, remember, if they say, we were just talking about this on another Zoom the other day, and also at the beginning of the Food Network and the Celeb Chef, no one used to, even at the finest restaurants in New York City, nobody knew who was in the kitchen. They were behind the wall. Mm-hmm. The kitchen was in the back, you know, and you guys are in the food business. Once they started knocking down those walls and dinner became the show,
yeah,
you know, I mean, look at it, you know, It's very rare to find a new kitchen build out where it's not an open kitchen where everyone gets to see it all. You know, now you throw in the tattoos and a lot of TV popularity, you're dealing with a different type of chef. But yeah, it's never been, it hasn't been a hard equation for me. Great food, great wine, great cocktails, great people, maybe people that have an extra few bucks in their pockets that you could raise a lot of money to help those that are less fortunate.
And some really great causes. And it seems like a lot of the causes really help children.
Yeah.
Which I like.
And 100%.
Is that something that you focus, that you're conscious of?
Yeah,
or,
I mean,
or do events find you, or is that something that really?
Yeah, I mean, the No Kid Hungry events led to Alex's Lemonade, which led to Autism Speaks, which led to the food banks. You know, so you know, and especially, you know, even across the country right now, you know, hunger and homelessness. Don't have to go into that. In LA, are two of the biggest issues in every city, but especially in Los Angeles. And housing is a separate issue, and it's just a major, major problem in the country, especially being in LA, more so than anywhere else. But yeah, at the end of the day, I feel like this is, you know, on my tombstone, you could say he did his part. You know, it's like, yeah, this is my portion of the big picture, and I get to do it in a very entertaining, luscious, delicious way. So I sleep well at night.
It's not a bad business, this hospitality business.
No, not bad.
It's never dull. Yeah. It's a lot of fun, and you get to eat and drink. Great. Billy, the chefs that you work with, obviously they love and respect you. I think what's most important struck me is they obviously really trust you. They trust you with their brand. How do you earn that trust? You've been doing it for many, many years, but the chefs are a different breed, and I say that with much respect. They're artists,
yeah.
You know. They're each one's different, and you really got it.
Yeah, and that's a good question, and it's come up in other interviews with other chefs, and I think it's also, I mean, you know, you talk about through randomness. You know, Suzanne Gowen and Carolyn Stein are two of my closest friends, and through. Unfortunately, their flagship Luke just closed after it'd be 22 years in September. And I was there with some Food Network people and was there on opening night 22 years ago. And we've been randomly like, oh, we're going to the opening of this new restaurant. So, Suzanne had mentioned it actually in a different interview and trust me, it was the highest compliment, that they do trust me. And I think it's just because I'm embedded in the space for so long. And obviously have a proven track record. And, you know, when the fundraising components are successful of a big culinary event, you know, it's the cherry on top. You know, you get all these chefs and the food's all amazing and people are having a great time, but you use like an Alex's Lemonade and then you raise $1.4 million on top of it, you know, and have had the opportunity to work with so many celebs that really help out in the fundraising effort. And Alex, I know we're talking about Alex a lot, but it's just a great organization. I mean, Jimmy Kimmel's the past, I think it's 3 or 4 years, has hopped up on stage with me and we've auctioned off dinners that we talked about Nancy in Italy. We auctioned off 3 dinners at his house at $100,000 a pop. So in 30 seconds, we raised another $300,000. Now, all your ducks have to line up. I'm on stage, you bring up Jimmy Kimmel on stage. He's like, we're going to have Chris Bianco and Mark Vetri and Adam Perry Lang and John Avini cook dinner in my house and bring 20 of your friends. So you have all that in pocket A, and then in pocket B, you just need the right people in the crowd that can go, I'm going to give you $100,000 for that. Now, that doesn't happen at every event in every city in every market. But the chef experience, because of the rise of food television, I don't care what the organization is and what you're supporting, the culinary chef experience really is number one anywhere. It's mm-hmm. supporting any organization. So me personally, I put together, you know, the in-home chef dinners, which everyone seems to love to have 4 or 5 chefs in your house, you know, cooking 4 or 5 courses and 12 people in your living room. I mean, that's an amazing experience. And then we produce these big backyard barbecues where you'll do 5 chefs and food for 100 people in your backyard. And it's a massive way to fundraise, and everybody gets what they want. So,
and Jimmy, of course, he said that we were having hot dogs, but they're going to be hot dogs you will never forget.
Exactly. The world's greatest hot
That's
dog.
That's right, so. Exactly. What's
but your... let me tell you, some of the best chefs in the world, they'll tell you their favorite thing to eat is this, you know, taco stand on, you know, 41st and Alameda in LA, you know, and other spots like that in Chicago and New York. So I find that always amusing as well. But yeah, it's been a great run so far.
With your dinner series, and you do a lot on Zoom and you do a lot online, and you're able to continue all that and keep it going. But what do you feel, what's your take on what's going on right now? When you watch a restaurant like Luke close, see your friend Suzanne and so many more chefs go through, these restaurateurs go through what's going on right now. How can we all, I mean, we can go out and support if you feel safe, but you know, what's your take on the industry right now and where it's going, and what are your thoughts watching?
Yeah, it was
so closely.
It was part of the reason, and very quickly, you know, when we took the dinner series and we're able to just pivot and go virtually with it because we have the partnerships and the mechanisms, and you know, we're like, let's just do this. And we started the middle of April, and we just did our last one last week. So it was a good 10-week run, and we're taking a few weeks off. And, you know, everyone go to BillyHarris.com because you're going to want to know what comes out next week. We're going to announce some of these special ones that we're doing in August, and we're going to come back then, because the more we get locked down, the more I want to create this vehicle to support the restaurants. People feel safe at home. If we can deliver 5 courses from Spago with great wine and water and cocktails in a bag to your front door, and then everyone goes online and has a 45-minute risotto making class with Wolfgang Puck, one of the most famous chefs on planet Earth, this is something that will live well beyond the pandemic. So we're supporting Spago and his chefs and his team. Okay. Wells Fargo has come on board and donated money at every dinner that we've done. So you're supporting a local nonprofit. And then at the same time, I feel like we're adding some comfort to everyone as they're stuck in their home. It is a crazy trying time for everybody. And, you know, obviously the restaurants, you know, are going from takeout now to outdoor dining. And you mentioned Suzanne. I mean, they took their parking lot, turned that into a dining room. Nancy took the parking lot in the back of Osteria Mozza and turned it into Piazza Mozza. Michael Cimarusti and Donato Poto took the parking lot at Connie and Ted's. It is now outdoor dining. Jason Neroni at the Rose. Neil Fraser downtown can seat 200 people under beautiful olive trees. So it's where we're at. So, yeah, for the people that do go out and, you know, feel comfortable sitting outside, and if not, do takeout. You know, I think Phil Rosenthal and his family are supporting the entire city of Los Angeles. I think he's ordered
somebody's.
Just follow Phil on Instagram. He has ordered delivered to his front door, I think, for 110 nights in a row right now. He's just like, I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, somebody's feeding Phil, huh?
Yeah, well,
feeding Phil, literally.
When my wife and I were on Christmas vacation and we traveled with our travel trailer to Phoenix, Arizona to visit my folks, there we were in our travel trailer. We were watching TV and we were getting hungry. And there was no pandemic at the time, of course. And we're going, where are we going to go? Who are we going to order from? So she goes online. We ordered from P.F. Chang's in Phoenix and had it delivered, and we have been getting their chicken, their sweet and sour chicken from the grocery store freezer, and it's as good, strangely enough, frozen, is as good as what we got, although I was blown away that we're sitting in a trailer here in North Phoenix, and we're getting P.F. Chang's delivered right to our door.
Right to your front door.
I think now that we're back in studio, we need to have delivery. Support the restaurant. Send it to the show.
I think you should.
Yeah.
We'll eat during the show.
Absolutely.
You have a young daughter. You mentioned her. You usually are in Italy at this time of the year with the family, and this is the first year, I think you said, that in 8 years that you haven't gone at this time.
Yep, correct.
You've got a young daughter, and what do you tell her about what's going on right now, and how do you talk to young children and explain, you know, the world that they're growing up in is so much different than you and I grew up in, and Dr. D.
Yeah.
How do you this talk to the, them as a father?
Is this the segment of Billy Harris parental advice right now?
This is Twilight Zone.
You know, the 11 visitors in Dublin did not sign up for this. Yeah, you know what?
I'm trying to get personal with him, but he keeps avoiding it.
No, you're good. I will. Yeah, Georgie is going to be 15, so she's no longer a little girl. She's in between. You know, it's all the parents have been in communication with each other. You know, the kids are seeing each other just now for a little bit in masks and social distancing and being on the other end of the pool from each other. I mean, you know, I mean, no one has seen anything like this ever. And but the good side of it is, you know, obviously with her school and many schools and being online, just like we're online right now, and, you know, in this format or the dinner series that's been able to go virtual, or anyone else that's been be able to create a new business model out of necessity. You know, it's really, really challenging for kids. She doesn't want to hang out with her two old parents. So we try and stay, you know, very active, and we live up in the hills here in Los Angeles. So we, you know, we hike all the time. She does her, she might, my daughter does my wife's workout with her. That's the routine. You know, thank God for social media. You know, when technology works, it's a good thing in the right way. So at least she's in communication with all her friends, right, if it's FaceTime or if it's Zoom or if it's TikTok or TikTok, whatever it's called. And that TikTok. And but listen, I don't have any answers. We're just, but what kind of does cross pollinate again is she does get to see what I do. She has been, and when we talk about when we do dinners with Wolfgang and Nancy and Curtis, you know, we're physically delivering food to 100 or 200 people. She's my wife's co-pilot because we're delivering the food ourselves with gloves and masks, and she navigates that. So she's really been able to work for 12 weeks on the dinner series. And we've been able to take something that we didn't think we'd be able to do it and still raise money. And she can still see. So at the same time, I'm really giving her the best learning lesson I can, because we're supporting the restaurants, supporting the charity, giving people a good time at home. She helps in the process. And remember, all of our dinners have a cooking demo. So she's cooking the dinner with my wife in the kitchen while I'm hosting the event. So we're very fortunate that she gets to be part of the experience and what we've created for daddy's business, because private school is expensive.
But is there a kid in L.A. that eats as well as your daughter? I mean, ruined
some
her.
Some of the other chef kids, but no, she's definitely the top of the list. And
the best chefs in the world, she's had.
Yeah, but
for her.
The best photo, when it is on my social media, is when she gets to be Nancy's sous chef for most of the summer.
Oh, wow.
You know, I remember when people were like, does she know how lucky she is right now?
Oh, my God. All right,
but
Billy.
Yeah, just day at a time.
I have to ask you this, because I would be...
You have 1 minute, and then I have a 1 o'clock Zoom call.
Okay. Well, tell me then a couple... You work with all these great chefs, these great minds, these great leaders. What have you learned from Suzanne Goen? What do you take away, a lesson that you've learned from her?
Oh, boy. You know what? My philosophy, which I find the same with the people that I work with and that I'm closest with, which is be nice to everybody and do a really good job. And I have stuck with that my whole life. I have another little side tangent. I don't really do business with anyone I wouldn't have over my house for dinner. I think that I don't care
It's a good policy.
If you make, if you're a fancy chef, if you make glasses, you know, if you make eyewear, if you sell fruit, you know, we're all in this together. And I really believe that it's because you see the same people on the way up as you do on the way down. I can tell you that much. Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
For sure.
So it doesn't take that much effort to be nice to people, because I really believe you never know what anybody is going through in their life. So I would like to believe that like-minded people have a very similar philosophy. You know, I really, you know, that from my parents, what was instilled in me, installed isn't the right word, but I'm going to go with it right now. You know, to be kind to people. And you know, I thought I had a problem when I had no shoes until I met a man who had no feet, is a very strong philosophy to live by. And I do find that, you know, because so much, it goes back to the kind of the callback of our whole conversation here. You can do all these great dinners with all the great wines and all the great food, but you can help people that are less fortunate. And all these chefs, the Suzannes, the Nancys of the world. I mean, Wolfgang started Project Angel Food with them 35 years ago. You know, food is a common bond. We all need it to survive. So it is always great to see that mega level chef and the amount of work. You know, I work with Thomas Keller and Daniel Blood all the time in their mentor program, you know, with Jerome Bocuse, you know, Paul Bocuse's son that just passed away, and the mentor VKB program. You know, January we'll all be back in Lyon, France for the Bocuse d'Or. You know, they have an entire mentorship program in the next generation of chefs. You know, and there's so many levels, which will be for an episode 400 when you bring me back, of the skills that are so many young people that start off that they learn in kitchens. And I did work in some restaurants in the beginning that turn into lifelong skills as well. So, but yeah, I find that similar like-minded people in regards to, you know, it doesn't take that much to be nice to people and to be kind to people. You know, working hard and doing a good job, that's what, you know, you would like to believe everyone does, but the being nice to people is really probably the most important.
Perfect,
attribute.
Perfect words to end on, Billy. I'm going to let you go to your next appointment.
We appreciated
this time with you so much and really great way to end the show. Listen more, communicate, and evolve. And be nice
to everybody.
Be nice to everybody. Thank you so much, Billy Harris.
Thanks for your time. I'll be back for episode 400.
Yeah, of course you will. We'd love that. Have a great day.
See you soon.
Bye.
Thanks, gents.
Have a great week, everybody.
This is comedian Maz Chobrani, and you are listening to The Jeremiah Show on AM 1290 KZSB Santa Barbara. Listen, man.
Hi, this is Cole Robbins with USA Surf Team, and I am here on The Jeremiah Show. Feel free to reach out to me on my Instagram at Robbins_Cole, or you can always find me with Village Properties, and that is ColeRobbins@VillageSite.com.
Do you need help with your restaurant or hospitality business? See how we can help your business at HJLRestaurantAdvisors.com. Check out our website at TheJeremiahShow.com. We are on iTunes and SoundCloud. Please subscribe on iTunes, podcast The Jeremiah Show. Did you like our soundtrack? Find all of our soundtracks on Spotify, The Jeremiah Show. As always, a big thanks to Dr. D for making our voices come alive on the airwaves, and to our station manager, Les Carroll, for letting us on the airwaves at all. Be sure to check out our very own Richard Dr. D. Dugan's Peabody Award-nominated radio show, Tell Me Your Story, every Sunday at 7 a.m. and again at 7 p.m. Thank you for listening to The Jeremiah Show with Dr. D. Listeners, we appreciate you and want to hear from you. Please send us your ideas at ShowJeremiah on Twitter and Instagram. The Jeremiah Show is produced by executive producer Jeremiah Higgins and sound engineer Richard Dr. D. Dugan. Have a great rest of your week, everyone. Evolve.
They were beautiful, the most beautiful sky in the sky. On fire, the clouds will catch them.